Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is August 31st, the last day of August in the year 2020, and we have a very powerful show for you today. But before we get started with that, I have to thank my title sponsor, a company that has a great role in making this show possible, and that's Legendary Foods. If you go to the website eatlegendary.com and use the coupon code SHR10, you'll save 10% off your entire order. And if you're a high-protein, low-carb, keto-type person, you're going to love the products that they make there that allow you to feel like you're cheating on your diet, but you're not. So check them out. They are a wonderful company. And, of course, feel free, if you're watching live, to post questions. And we'll try to work your questions into the discussion today as we can. So please do that. Today I'm being joined by Dr. Mikhail Blagosklony that I'm honored. I think this is the only podcast you do. Am I correct about that?
What do you mean the only?
Do you who what other podcast shows do you do besides mine?
It was another podcast maybe 3 months ago by Mangan.
Okay.
On Twitter, yeah.
Okay. I'm very proud that you come on the show because you understand that this audience is intelligent and they can gather information and make critical decisions on their own. So I'm very proud that you come on the show.
Thank you.
It couldn't be – the timing of today's interview was actually in the works weeks ago. But we couldn't have planned it better because just this week the CDC announced – that only 6% of all COVID-19 deaths were actually because of the virus, and 94% were because of comorbidities. And this message from the CDC fits nicely into the discussion today. But before we get into the discussion, there's a couple things I have to do to pay homage to you. I had never heard of senescent cells before you. I had never heard of the use of a cancer drug and an anti-rejection drug called rapamycin before you started talking about it. Today, everybody out there is a rapamycin expert. Everybody out there is the one that sees themselves as a thought leader. Tell my audience the story that you told me off the air a minute ago when you published your first paper and it was rejected. Tell the audience that story. How long ago was that?
It was like 15 years ago. I was working on cell senescence, and we found that senescence is actually continuation of growth. It doesn't require any damages. It's just when cells stop dividing, but continue to be stimulated to grow, and it cannot grow in size indefinitely, it's become senescent. Instead of, so senescence, it was like abnormal growth. And because growth is driven by mTOR pathway, target of rapamycin, rapamycin suppressed this process. So, but then it turned out that this is applicable to organism aging, not only to senescence, cellular senescence, because organism growth also continues as aging and age-related diseases. So the same drug rapamycin was supposed to block organism aging. So at the beginning, I thought that it will make us immortal. So my first paper was called Aging and Immortality. So at that time, it was clear for us in our lab that rapamycin block cell senescence, but it was not known that it will extend lifespan, life in any animals. So I was trying to get grants for that, and it was impossible. I was rejected everywhere. And one of paper that was rejected, and then I published, I made many predictions, including that rapamycin will extend life in mice, and so on and so on. And my last prediction was that 5 years from now, this theory will become mainstream and everyone will use it without citation of my work. So basically, it's not completely correct prediction. First of all, some people cite my work.
Yes.
Yes. And second, it happened later, not after 5 years, but I would say after 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Yes. So, and in 2009, it was shown that rapamycin extend lifespan in mice. We also published paper next year in 2010. And then it was like 3 dozens of publications on extension lifespan in mice, delaying all diseases, increasing health span, and not only mice. It was all animals tested,
wow,
including C. elegans, worm, and Drosophila, and
flies.
Fly. And what amazed me most, actually, last year, it was publication that rapamycin extends lifespan in Hydra. It's, I even don't know how to pronounce
Hydra?
Its name. Yes, it was supposed to be an immortal organism, the simplest, immortal.
Okay.
Hydra. So, Hydra. It was become universal. So, just a few words about rapamycin as introduction. It's also known in the clinic as Sirolimus and Rapamon, and it was approved for clinical use in 1999, so it's used by millions of mostly renal transplant patients, and then it was used for cancer patients. So clinicians knows these drugs well.
Yeah, they're very safe when used appropriately. There are some people out there who, you know, always take everything too far. There are, you know, I know that there were some studies out in California where they were giving dogs rapamycin daily at high doses, and the dogs didn't do well. So there are some people that I've met, they, oh, well, the science behind that is dangerous. No, it's not dangerous. The protocols that are being used and suggested for people are very low, much lower than the tolerable doses given to people as kidney anti-rejection drugs. So, it's deemed a safe drug to use.
Yeah, but I know all publications, but I don't know any publication that rapamycin is dangerous.
Right.
And
there's no LD50 on rapamycin, right? There's no LD50.
Right. Yeah. Interesting description of failed suicide attempts. For example, one young patient, she took more than 100 tablets of rapamycin, and she had no symptoms after that. So, yes, the only symptom was hyperlipidemia, increase in blood lipids. It lasted like for several weeks after that, but that's it. Yes, but it's difficult to talk about side effects of rapamycin because it will take several days right. to talk about.
Right. Well, let's do this. Let's jump into your paper.
So right. I just want to, say that almost everything misleading. For example, it was publication 15 years ago, association of rapamycin use with diabetes in transplant patient, very weak, but it was. So one publication, but then other researchers analyzed this paper and they showed that it's incorrect because it was correlation between Medicare billion for insulin with use of rapamycin. And this correlation depend that they also take another drug simultaneously. And rapamycin increased their concentration. So it was completely irrelevant.
Incorrect, yeah.
But people continue to cite this paper. So, yeah, what I like to say now that rapamycin is safer than ice cream. Because ice cream actually leads to type 2 diabetes for sure.
Right.
And rapamycin, no.
So let's talk about your most recent paper. And the paper is called From Cause of Aging. Here, let me put it up here. Oh, it's up there. From Cause of Aging to Death from COVID-19.
Right.
Why did you feel compelled to write this paper, first of all? I want to bring one topic up as we walk into this. We know that during the outbreak of this pandemic, there was one phenomenon that was spoken about that many people, it went right over their head. But on the Diamond Princess, there was a couple. The husband had had kidney transplant, and he was taking daily doses of rapamycin. The wife did not have rapamycin. They both contracted COVID-19, but his symptoms went away in a day. And she was hospitalized and couldn't leave the boat for a month. He went home without her because they said to him, "You're fine, you can't be here, but we have to keep her here." And everybody missed it. When the news said he's a kidney transplant patient, I looked at Elisa and I said, "He's got to be on sirolimus or rapamycin." I said, "That's what they give you for kidney transplant, for anti-rejection. That's why he didn't get severely sick from COVID-19. Do you remember that?
Yes. Of course, it's difficult to make any conclusion on one case. Yes, but at least it fits.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Talk about your paper, this paper you
So in back in March, many researchers and many readers noticed something simultaneously. They noticed that death from mortality rate from COVID-19 was age dependent.
Right, stratified by age. Right, exactly. The older you were, the more likely you were to die. Right.
Yeah, so this is actually death natural shown from age, but dots show death from COVID, and they go together, except childhood, because in childhood, COVID is not deadly, but natural death is high in infants.
Right.
But later it goes the same.
Right.
So it was perfect correlation, exponential, and it was stunning. So many people approached me and they said, I made a great discovery. I discovered that we should use anti-aging drugs, and then it could help. And I also discovered that. But it was discovered by, I think, thousands, because it was easier. So I started writing a paper, but then I realized that other people are already doing this publishing, and I decided instead just to show something like that, to go to mechanism, to explain why aging make patients vulnerable. So basically, virus alone isn't sufficient to kill a patient. Aging is necessary too. So it was another correlation that 99% of patients who died, they had age-related diseases.
Right.
Yes. It's hypertension, diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, obesity, renal, lung, and so on. And it was like mortality depends on age, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it depends on diseases. But there is no contradiction in this, because aging is manifested by diseases. Aging is the sum of all age-related diseases. No one dies from aging itself.
Right. You don't die because of the number. You don't die because of the number. You die because the older you get, the more diseases you accumulate.
Right. Yes. But if you accumulate less diseases, it means that your biological age is lower, and if more, higher. So this is why mortality rate from COVID-19 depends on biological age, not on chronological. So age-related diseases are markers. And also, COVID-19 was twice more lethal in men than in women, but the same natural death per year, twice more in men. And men live shorter, they age faster, so everything fits together. So basically, COVID-19 vulnerability.
Yeah, there you go. You're right in the center. Perfect. Diabetes, COPD, dementia, obesity.
Is age-related condition. So it could, like other diseases. So, of course, all of them correlated. Once again, vulnerability is when person gets infected, that this person will die. Because infectability doesn't depend from age. But outcome.
Survival. So, survival depends on it.
Yes. So it's typical age-related disease. So you can be COVID-19 vulnerable in the absence of virus. But when you get virus, then it will be lethal. So, and it could be explained by as other age-related diseases.
But in its simplest terms, we could say comorbidities is another way of saying the accumulation of age-related diseases in its simplest way, right? We could say, so when they talk about comorbidity, because let's speak honestly here. Who dies from the flu? Old people. Why do old people die from the flu? Because they already have heart disease, diabetes, asthma, all these other problems that make it difficult for their body to mount a fight to survive a severe illness.
Yes, this is one way to look at this one. It's another, not mutually exclusive, that these diseases are markers of some other processes. For example, that
cytokine storm, I see, okay.
By mTOR. So hyperfunctional, very strong innate immunity response that actually kills a patient. Not virus itself, but organismal response. So it's not that immunity is weak, immunity is too strong.
Right. Overreacts. Yes. It sets the whole body on fire, basically.
Right.
It does.
Yes. And by the way, this is why infants, they have so-called weak immunity and vulnerable to influenza, for example. But in contrast, they don't die from COVID, because they don't give this hyper response, cytokine storm, and so on.
So what do you think it is about senescent cells that seem to lead to this hyper responsiveness of? Is it the senescent cell itself that's causing the hyper responsiveness, and so the more you have, the greater the response, or are they triggering something in the immune system that is causing this hyper response?
Mm-hmm. In cell culture, senescent cells are hyperfunctional. For example, hypersecretory phenotype in this production of cytokines and so on, depending on function of the cell. But in the organism, only few cells classically senescent, but it doesn't mean that those that don't look senescent, they are not. They have not most markers of senescence, but their activity slightly higher than necessary. They are hyperfunctional anyway, including in immune system. So in immune system, some parts, like innate immunity, responds too strongly. Other parts, in contrast, don't respond too strongly, because it's very complex system. Elements that are hyperactive, very active, they can block other elements. So what rapamycin can do, increase even function in immune system of some elements, like production of antibodies, vaccinations, because it inhibits steps, processes, or cells that in turn inhibit final production of antibodies. And it was shown, for example, in humans that vaccination, that rapamycin improved vaccination against flu virus and decrease number of cases of influenza flu.
So that means we could think of rapamycin as an adaptogen. It lowers what needs to be lowered and it raises what needs to be raised.
Yeah, it's as I wrote actually 14 years ago. I wrote figuratively. It's rejuvenate immunity, making like infant-like immunity. So it would make sense, because And but of course it's oversimplification. But so rapamycin can have effect on different steps of response. First, in theory, if a person takes it for many years, biological age is lower. So the person is younger, in simple words. So we'll deal with coronavirus better. But of course, we don't know about it because it takes a while. There are clinical trials that were started addressing other mechanisms of rapamycin. For example, one clinical trial in severe COVID-19 pneumonia. So in order to prevent cytokine storm.
Right.
So we will have results of this clinical trial by the end of year for sure. Another was given before infection possible. It will require huge clinical trial, of course, in order to improve immunity.
So you're saying as a prophylaxis, yes, to take it before you actually get sick.
Right. So there are several clinical trials. This is all important because back in March, many doctors who actually prescribed rapamycin to their patients, they didn't know what to do. To continue prescription or to stop.
Right, because they don't want to kill the person if they get COVID-19 and they're taking rapamycin, right? Right.
Right. And it was safer to stop, and basically many doctors stopped. But I know that they continue to take rapamycin themselves sometimes. Well, you can put yourself in risk, but
yes, not your patient. Sure.
But yeah, but as I understand, then this fear of rapamycin went away, and right now everything not like before COVID-19, but much better. Actually, COVID-19 promoted use of rapamycin, especially given these clinical trials that started. At least they showed that it's not dangerous. We don't know yet is it useful, but not dangerous. So this is why the title of my talk, Rapamycin in Post-COVID-19 Era, because surprisingly, this pandemic attracted more interest to rapamycin and promoted its use. I'm receiving emails from many doctors who are planning to start treating patients. It's unrelated to COVID-19 because, pandemic going, my belief, to the end soon. Basically, what is going right now, it's still first wave. It was just flattened.
Right.
And it's not second wave. Probably it will be no second wave, because in such places like New York, where probably everyone who could be infected
has been infected.
Yes. Yeah. It's unrelated to my talk, But I believe that not everyone can be infected, so much less number of people.
Well, we actually did a show a couple weeks ago where a scientist from Israel showed that the people with the highest 25-hydroxy-D levels seem to have protection against even getting infected in the first place. So I thought that was fascinating. So there's a lot, as you point out, there's some people out there who just, they'll come in contact with it and they won't get infected. But we see that across the board on lots of disease states in science. We see outliers who, for some reason, they could be exposed to things and they just don't, they don't catch it. So it makes sense that there would, that would be the case with COVID-19 also. I have to take a break. I have to take a break. I'm going to ask you to hold your thought just for a second. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to start talking more about rapamycin in a post-COVID environment, because I really think that what a lot of your work is pointing to today is that it's not just COVID-19 that we will be protected against mortality when we address senescent cells. You know, my biggest frustration is when I first started doing this show 14 years ago, a lot of people thought when we talk about anti-aging, we're talking about living forever, we're talking about dating younger women, we're talking about looking like a 20-year-old again. And I've always been talking about the suppression of age-related diseases. And I really think that what your work points to is a much grander picture than just COVID-19. It's all, older people die from everything easier. Why? Because the accumulation of senescent cells taxes their system to such a great degree that they are not capable of mounting a response, a healthy response to anything, and it kills them. So I really think that I want to come back and talk about the fact that I think that what your work is really providing us with is a blueprint going forward to change the way allopathic medicine treats people only when they're sick and starts treating them before they get sick entirely. Okay, can we talk about that when we come back?
Yes, Carol.
Okay, all right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Mikhail Blagosklony. Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it. You'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off. Did you know that your gut is referred to as your second brain? In fact, at least 90% of your serotonin, your happiness chemical, is created in your gut. If you don't take care of your gut, you won't feel good, period. Optimizers recently released Cognibiotics, a new breakthrough probiotic formula that is clinically proven to enhance your brain function, your mood, and overall mental health. Most probiotics often include conflicting strains or quantities and can cancel each other out. Cognibiotics delivers the exact strain you need in exactly the right ratios and quantities. With a 365-day, no-questions-asked, money-back guarantee, you can try them out for yourself to start feeling the incredible difference Cognibiotics makes in your mood, mind, and performance. For an exclusive offer to my listeners, go to Cognibiotics.com/SHR. That's Cognibiotics.com/SHR and use code SHR10.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of. Having started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax, that was at 8 years old, and so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety, because I'm talking, you know, full out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's drseeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers.
Unlock your potential with the best cognitive enhancement and anti-aging supplements on the market. PureNootropics.net goes the extra mile for the highest quality ingredients, third-party tested to make sure you only receive the best your money can buy. There's no better choice with their money-back guarantee and free shipping. Try their best-selling DHM. Dihydromyrcetin prevents hangovers and helps the liver detox after a night of drinking. Get your DHM and other nootropics and longevity supplements from PureNootropics.net, the purest supplement. Supplements around.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mikel Blagosklony. We're talking about rapamycin. We're going to change the discussion slightly. We were going to talk more about this study, but I want to open the discussion up because really I think from the 30,000-foot view, when we look at how rapamycin can help protect against dying from SARS-CoV-2, we can't ignore the fact that the reason people are dying from SARS-CoV-2 is because of the accumulation of diseases associated with aging, and those disease states can be tracked right back to the hyperaccumulation of senescent cells. The more you have, the sicker you are. So why aren't we talking about this research as evidence that the way forward to treat patients should include a specific, systematic, intermittent addition of rapamycin to everybody to reduce the buildup senescent cells so that I don't die from my COPD. I don't die from my heart problem because the body actually can mount an attack and repair these things.
Yes. When I just started working on that 15 years ago or more, idea was that we can delay all age-related diseases by treating aging, by affecting aging. And mTOR, target of rapamycin, was involved in actually all known age-related diseases, including cancer, atherosclerosis, Alzheimer's disease, obesity, and so on. So, and all of them can be delayed by one treatment because it's affect not specific disease, but their common cause, aging. So, and this drug is rapamycin. personally, because I'm an oncologist, I'm most fascinated with its effect on cancer prevention. Mm-hmm. And what is interesting, there was work in cancer research completely unrelated to aging research, to geroscience, on prevention of cancer by rapamycin in mice. My favorite work was published in 2007. It was 90% reduction of lung cancer in mice.
Wow.
Mice that were given to smoke tobacco. Yes. And the authors actually suggested that maybe all smokers and former smokers should take rapamycin. I don't know why this direction was not continue much. What is also interesting that when we treat mice with rapamycin to extend lifespan, simultaneously rapamycin delays cancer.
Hmm.
Especially it's obvious in cancer-prone mice. So, and this is very logical. Cancer is age-related disease. So, it's one of diseases that are delayed by
rapamycin.
I called one of my papers Prevention of Cancer by Staying Young. So, yes. And what is, and in a great contrast to this, clinical trials with antioxidants were terminated 20 years ago. It was many clinical trials that antioxidants would prevent lung cancer in former smokers, but instead they increases
it. Yeah, because reactive oxygen species actually suppresses tumor cells from growing, and so if you suppress ROS continuously, you're creating fertilizer for the cancer cells. Okay, so I want you to connect some dots for me. I just had a thought. Dr. Thomas Seyfried, who authored the book Cancer as a Metabolic Disease or Disorder, did several really well-done studies showing pretty clearly that it's the mitochondria that switches to anaerobic respiration before oncogenes start flipping on and doing and turning cells into tumors. And so my question to you is, what is the relationship between mTOR, rapamycin, and possibly mitophagy or mitochondrial function?
Yes. So rapamycin stimulates mitophagy. So mitochondria defective can be autophaged and then replaced by beta ones. And but I just want to say that rapamycin, although it was approved to treat cancer together with its analogs like everolimus, they are not extremely potent anti-cancer drugs. This actually was predictable. They affect aging and thus delay cancer.
Yeah, but they indirectly affect cancer. Indirectly affect cancer.
Yeah, but when cancer already arises, they cannot kill cancer cells really. So they are not cytotoxic. This is actually the beauty of these drugs. This is why they are not toxic to humans. They don't kill cells. So although they treat cancer, but it's not that their use make cancer curable.
Right.
This is what they want. Yeah. So it's mostly prevention. By the way, this prevention was observed in renal transplant patients.
Right.
Because they have a lot of skin cancer. This is very characteristic. But when they were switched on rapamycin, sirolimus, incidence of skin cancer dramatically decreased. So it's observed by chance, and it was many publications on that. But the same actually with all other age-related diseases. And now there is great enthusiasm to use rapamycin for Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. It was attempts to use for age-related macular degeneration, mm-hmm. but it was local. Interestingly, rapamycin even used now for cosmetic purposes in skin cream. And some doctors prescribe rapamycin cream. It's not commercially available yet, but it could be done by doctor prescription.
But some of that is being delivered systemically, because we know anything that gets into past the stratum corneum gets picked up by blood vessels and delivered systemically as well, right?
Mm-hmm. So, but systemic use of rapamycin is increasing. For anti-aging purposes, to treat age-related diseases. So it's not like only for cosmetic purposes, as you understand. It's to prolong life, to make it healthier, to treat age-related diseases. And first doctor who started this approximately 6 years ago was Dr. Alan Green from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he has now more than 500
patients. I know one of his patients, and I'm hoping he's listening today. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to be caught in a HIPAA lawsuit. But I know one of his patients, and he is doing amazingly. He's around my age, and he's in fantastic shape. He feels better than he's ever felt before. He's feistier than he's ever been before. He's from Brooklyn like me, so he's a real chop breaker. But I know one of his patients, and they're very, very happy. And I want to do something. There's a question that I want to get answered for someone in the audience. But then I want to talk about we have to take one more break. When we come back, I want to talk about the fact that you want to start opening clinics around the country so that you can bring this science – usable science to other people in the United States. So let's just do this. Let's answer this question first. Samurai Jack is watching on YouTube. He says, ask Dr. Blagoskloni if he's heard of the dog aging project, giving dogs rapamycin to extend life. I kind of inferred to that a second ago, but have you heard of them?
Yes, Matt Kamberlin is running these studies for many years.
Right.
Matt Kamberlin. I'm not involved in any way. And unfortunately, it was almost nothing published yet on that. There are a lot of stories, but it's not finished. Yes.
I've heard that that's where they were having problems with the unwanted effects, because they were giving the dogs daily doses, very, very high daily doses. So let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I have not been a more diligent fan of rapamycin. I just take 6 milligrams every other week, twice a month, mm-hmm. and the reason I don't take it more frequently is because I'm afraid that I'm going to suppress mTOR too much, because I want to keep my muscle. I want to stay strong. I want to stay muscular. So tell me why that I'm incorrect about that.
Yes. First of all, it looks like there's not too much of good stuff. At least in mice, the higher dose, the longer lifespan. It was never, maximum lifespan was never reached. It was never studied that increase of rapamycin further will decrease lifespan. It always goes up. Second, about muscles, there are many studies that rapamycin treats and prevents sarcopenia.
Really?
Yes. I put information on my website, mikhailblagosklonny.com. I didn't publish this review, but yes. And actually, I am taking rapamycin. I put video on Twitter how I do this. And I exercise now a lot. And I can do pull-ups increasingly. Now I can do 4 or 5 pull-ups. Just 5 years ago, I could do 0.
So here's the second part of that question. And I actually texted this to you a long time ago, but it fits nicely into this discussion. So rapamycin suppresses mTOR. Consuming large amounts of high-quality animal protein, high in leucine, turns mTOR on. Now, we've talked about it on this show for years. A wave of mTOR and autophagy is what gets the most muscle built. If mTOR is turned on all the time, then the muscle synthesis, protein synthesis, is shut down. If mTOR is always off, protein synthesis is on. So we know that the body likes phases, mTOR, autophagy, mTOR, autophagy. So my question to you is this. If I take a large dose of rapamycin, let's say I take 20 milligrams in one day, that should last, I think the half-life is about 3 days. Theoretically, if I ate 400 grams of high leucine protein a day, would that blunt the effect of rapamycin? Would it contribute to mTOR turning on for a little while? Has anyone looked at the effects of rapamycin in the face of high protein intake?
Yeah, there is some missing information here, which is important, that rapamycin doesn't inhibit all activities of mTOR. There are so-called rapamycin sensitive and many other rapamycin insensitive, they continuous. So, and amino acids, they activate all activities. So, and different activities actually. So, it's not that they're completely antagonistic.
Okay.
Slightly overlapping antagonistically, but so what is important that rapamycin doesn't decrease muscle size. It's now proven in many studies it doesn't decrease. Why it doesn't decrease? It's another issue, of course, to investigate.
So we're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the fact that you are endeavoring to open clinics throughout the United States. And I want to allow people from this audience to be able to reach out to you and talk about what the future looks like for what I consider the next phase of optimistic medicine. Optimistic medicine. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today. Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibrations use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest, so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Among the easiest and most popular ways to experience the life-altering benefits of hemp, Planet Earth CBD soft gels offer fast-acting effects as they release quickly. Made in a GMP-compliant, USFDA-registered facility, you can count on Planet Earth's safe soft gels. These soft gels provide temporary relief from pain and so much more. Manufactured with the calming combination of chamomile and melatonin, you got yourself a long-needed CBD solution. 25 milligrams of nano-emulsified hemp extract per serving with anti-inflammatory agency, Planet Earth's sleep-supporting soft gels will have you forgetting about today's worries for a better tomorrow. Unwind with Planet Earth CBD today.
Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibrations use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest, so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
We're very fortunate to have Dr. Mikhail Blagosloney here today with us. He is a thought leader in the area of longevity, and it's no accident that much of his early work is now being followed by physicians and scientists to the same end point that he discovered 15 plus years ago, and that is that by modifying the landscape of mTOR and reducing the accumulation of senescent cells, people can live. And you know what? This may not really extend your life per se. And I want to qualify that when I say that. I don't want people to get mad at me. But if you are if you're starting to see the allostatic load of accumulation of diseases, and you're slowing down, and you can't do the things you can do, you can't sleep well, you're going to die sooner than you need to. By eradicating those diseases, you will end up living longer than had you had those diseases. What I want to be careful about when we talk about anti-aging is getting painted with this zealot paintbrush that we're going to... There are people out there talking about living to be, 280 years is possible, you know, nobody knows that for sure. I mean, that's just guesswork. I mean, you know, we're like Flash Gordon. Yeah, we could live to be 1,000 if we could replace all of our parts and we'll have nanobots. But, you know, that's sci-fi stuff. But eliminating disease states now, the accumulation of these disease states, the life energy that they rob from you day in and day out, will absolutely make you live longer than if you keep them in place. And so that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about not just lifespan, but perhaps even more importantly, health span. Because I don't want to spend the last 30 years of my life in a diaper, in an institution, waiting for someone to roll me into the kitchen to get something to eat. So I just wanted to kind of preface it. So you have been wanting for at least the past 7 or 8 years, you started talking to me about it. You've been wanting to start opening clinics throughout the United States to bring this science to the masses, correct?
Yes, because a lot of potential patients could not find potential doctors.
Right.
It was one clinic by Dr. Alan Green for many years, and patients from, he said that even patients from New Zealand and Australia were coming to him. So it was many people who wanted to live longer and healthier, but it was not such clinics and doctors. But now situation changed, and it changed dramatically during 1 year. And I'm not going to thinking that I should try to open clinic anymore because they are opening themselves. Yes. And, for example, great clinic by Dr. Randy Smith in Anti-Aging Atlanta. And he will be part of clinical trials of rapamycin. So, to prevent age-related diseases. I know Ageless RX clinic in Chicago, and all they will operate online. So it will make everything much more easier in all states. Something like that happening in Europe too. So
So about a year and a half ago, I started saying to you, this is, do this online, because why dot the landscape with clinics? I think that one of the beautiful things that happened from COVID-19 was the general acceptance of telemedicine. It was overnight. It went from telemedicine is dangerous and doctors who were performing telemedicine were looked at as possible crossing boundaries that they shouldn't, to Fauci and everybody up there going, no, you know, telemedicine, you can't go see your doctor, so see him by Skype, go see him by Zoom. So the general acceptance of telemedicine has actually opened the door for something that I've hoped for a long time. Like Dr. Green, is he accepting telemedicine patients yet?
I don't know.
I'm going to email him later and ask him. I'm going to email him.
I did not in touch with him, really. But other doctors, they accept telemedicine.
This is so exciting, because if you're listening to the show or you're watching the show right now, that means that where do you want people? First of all, there's a lot of physicians that listen to my show. So first of all, if there's a physician out there who wants to be trained so that he or she can offer this as a therapy, where do they go? To your website?
I don't. Well, I would be happy if they will email me blagoskloni@rapalogs.com.
Blagoskloni at rapalogs.com.
Okay. For example. Okay. Or I will put it on website. But and I am interested to help financially and maybe donate some money for this. I'm not working for profit. I don't sell anything. I don't make money on this. I don't have grant on this. In contrast, I am starting to spend my money. I'm opening now Blagosklony Foundation, and there is Rapamycin Press that will donate money for the first, not for the first time, for clinical trial of rapamycin to one of the clinics. So, and I don't know why I want to do this.
I know, you said that to me. You said, I don't need to be doing this stuff anymore, Carl. You're like, and I said, well, you know, I feel like it's important because you're the OG in this space of medicine. And I feel like it's important that you stay involved. But I know you're very happy living your life now. You don't really need this anymore.
Right. Because I have all these anti-aging drugs. I mean combination, not only rapamycin. So personally, I'm fine. But I want to have like sense of mission, some pursuit of immortality. It's something big. So so my foundation will help. And everything is changing during the last year. It's become accepted. Just 1 year ago, it was only Dr. Alan Green.
I know, it's amazing. After I let you go here shortly, as the interview comes to an end, I'm actually going to come back and talk about my theory on why men are affected by COVID more and why men die younger. And it's a very simple thought. I'm gonna give it to you now, and then I'm gonna go on the other side. And I don't want you to be tied to my theory because people say, "Hey, that guy's a quack." But I have this feeling that iron accumulation increases the ability for cells to become senescent, and testosterone increases iron absorption. That's a very ultra simplistic statement. But that's, my mind is not as sophisticated as yours. Mine is quite simple. What do you think about that statement?
I think that it makes sense. But I just, you know, first of all, I cannot know everything in detail.
Right.
So, yes.
No. Okay.
But about iron, it makes sense, but you can take a view on something from very different perspective. You can take view from iron, you can take view from something else, and it will be not complete picture. I am taking view from mTOR,
right,
for one simple reason, because we have drug,
right. And you can affect this, that, right? Right.
Yes, because if it would be some in this mTOR network, and they connected, and they connected with the iron, everything interconnected. But I chose, I call it mTOR point of view, just because there is drug to test.
Right.
So, and to use clinic.
So the website is MikhailBlagosklony.com, MikhailBlagosklony.com, correct?
Correct. Now I understand that I will work on this website because it was not very active. But after our talk, now I must to do it. And but also, they can follow me on Twitter, just Blagosklony.
Okay.
My
on Twitter.
Name, that's it.
And they can email you at Blagosklony at Rapalogs, RAPALOGS.com.
Yes, logs.
Logs, L-O-G-S. Yes. Yeah, Blagosklony at Rapalogs.com. And I hope that doctors email you and say, hey, we want to start offering this therapy. Help us. That's the first. I already know. I'm texting with the doctor right now who couldn't watch live. But I know that she's going to reach out to you, and I know another doctor that's going to reach out to you too. This is a dream come true. It really is. All right, look, thank you so much for making time to be here today to talk about this.
My pleasure.
Okay, we'll talk soon, okay? Take care.
Yes, yes, thank you.
All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to take my feeble attempt at science, but I'm going to try to connect some dots. I think I have some dots to connect that also include mTOR in the testosterone equation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Recently released.
Well, hold on. Sorry about that. Did you know that your gut is referred to as your second brain? In fact, at least 90% of your serotonin, your happiness chemical, is created in your gut. If you don't take care of your gut, you won't feel good, period. Bioptimizers recently released Cognibiotics, a new breakthrough probiotic formula that is clinically proven to enhance your brain function, your mood, and overall mental health. Most probiotics often include conflicting strains or quantities and can cancel each other out. Cognibiotics delivers the exact strain you need in exactly the right ratios and quantities. With a 365-day no questions asked, money back guarantee. You can try them out for yourself to start feeling the incredible difference Cognibiotics makes in your mood, mind, and performance. For an exclusive offer to my listeners, go to cognibiotics.com/SHR. That's cognibiotics.com/SHR and use code SHR10.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new transformation challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com. Or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Over 11 million people in the U.S. have some form of retinal damage, also known as macular degeneration. This is expected to double to nearly 22 million by 2050. Artificial blue light, age, type 2 diabetes are all contributors. Doctors say there's no cure. Armed is changing that opinion. In one clinical trial, 93% of patients had arrested or improved their condition. 54% reported lessening of glare, reduced dryness, and improved clarity and comfort. And 0% felt worse during treatment and no side effects. Take control of your macular degeneration or keep it from ever occurring. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and get armed today.
Unlock your potential with the best cognitive enhancement and anti-aging supplements on the market. PureNootropics.net goes the extra mile for the highest quality ingredients. Third-party tested to make sure you only receive the best your money can buy. There's no better choice with their money-back guarantee and free shipping. Try their best-selling DHM. Dihydromyrisatin prevents hangovers and helps the liver detox after a night of drinking. Get your DHM and other nootropics and longevity supplements from PureNootropics.net. The purest supplements around.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Let me just change this. Excuse me. and get this down. Okay. So, men die at a higher rate than women, faster, sooner, earlier in life. I'm having a cough attack. Let me get some water. And they die from COVID more frequently, which means they probably accumulate more senescent cells than women. Men don't age as well as women do. I've thought a lot about this. I'm sorry. Sorry I'm doing this to you. My nose just got stuffed. Having some sort of allergy attack. Anyway, what we know is this. Men probably end up with more senescent cells than women. And why is that? I think I know. Men eat a lot more red meat than women. That's a fact. Iron. So senescent cells have 5 times more iron than quiescent cells or healthy cells. But could just the eating more red meat be the answer for the development of iron in men? No. Testosterone. Testosterone increases the uptake of iron. We know this. It's why when men are on testosterone therapy, a lot of times they have to donate blood. They get too much red blood cells developing. The more red blood cells you have, the more iron you have, because red blood cells need iron. But the missing piece was just given to me by Dr. Blagis Cloney. Guess what else testosterone levels affect? mTOR. Several studies show, I just found them. Now, I'll read this one real quick. Testosterone regulation of AKT, mTOR, FOXO3A signaling in skeletal muscle. And the takeaway right from the beginning is men with low testosterone have low muscle because they have low mTOR. So that means men with high testosterone have more muscle because they have more mTOR activity. So there's the answer. The reason that, I'm sorry I'm doing this to you, men die younger than women, age worse than women, die from COVID-19 more than women, and most likely have a greater degree of senescent cells than women, is testosterone and red meat. I'm sorry. I love testosterone. I've been on testosterone therapy since 2007. I'm not stopping. And I love red meat. So what is the answer for men? It's something I've talked about on this show for a long, long time. Donate blood. I told my own son, donate blood at least twice a year. Start now when you're 30. Because this is where men can actually save their own lives. Donating blood is critical. So women, and here's the iron link again for women. Women start to bioaccumulate iron after they go through menopause because they stop having periods, they stop bleeding. So Ron Penna, who is also fascinated by iron like I am, checked. He said, well, that would mean that women who take birth control at a very young age should have some sort of iron accumulation and maybe mortality and disease rates related to that iron accumulation. And he did, in fact, find a study that looked at women who don't take birth control and women who take birth control pills that just make them menstruate less often and women who take birth control methods that keep them from menstruating at all. And the death rate was in line. Those who weren't taking birth control had a much lower death rate from a variety of diseases that they looked at. Those who were taking birth control pills where they bled maybe every 90 days, slightly higher. And those who were taking birth control pills that kept them from bleeding at all had the highest mortality rates related to certain diseases. I don't remember what they were. They were diseases that were tied back to the theory that we have about iron accumulation. I can't say it enough. Donate blood. If you're a woman and you've gone through menopause, donate blood a couple times a year. You're going to offload a lot of metabolic waste when you donate blood. But more importantly, you're going to offload iron. We bioaccumulate iron as soon as we start eating. And we have iron in us that's probably been there since we were kids. We don't have a system to manage iron or get rid of it. Unless you're a long-distance runner or a vegan, which you'll slowly start to go through the iron. So, the answer to this question, why do men die younger? Why do they die more frequently from COVID-19? Probably have higher level of senescent cells. Why do men have a higher level of senescent cells than women? Because they eat more red meat and they have testosterone. Those two things right there. That's it. Short and sweet. I'll post the links to these studies too that I just mentioned in today's show. If you're a physician, please reach out to Dr. Mikhail Blagosklony at blagosklony@rapalogs.com and get trained. And I haven't used my rapamycin in a couple weeks, actually. Well, almost a month. I was taking it every other week. I'm going to start taking it again because I was afraid. I don't want it to cause muscle wasting. But there you go. It's only Monday. We have a lot of great shows this week planned. I hope you can make it. Please share the show. Help somebody. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.